Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Thank you, Jesus. I just sense in my spirit that many of you left home today and you were saying, Lord, I need a word. Lord, I need something to speak to me. I need to hear from you today. And visually, spiritually, I see many of you are like in a boat, and you're on the sea, and the waves are rushing in at you, you know, and the boat's filling up, and nothing's going right in your life, and you're just, Lord, where are you? But God is saying this morning, take your eyes off the waves. Take your eyes off the problems. Take your eyes off of the issues that are going on in your life, because I'm standing right there in the midst of the storm. Put your eyes on me, the peace of your life. I'm going to command the waves to stop. I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. I know what's happening in your life. I know your sicknesses, and I know your failures, and I know your disappointments. I am God. I love you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to desert you. I'm going to speak to that storm. Can you say amen? And I'm going to quiet those waves. Be encouraged today.
Praise the Lord. As we do what Linda was sharing with us, and as we don't look at the wind and the waves, we look up to our Father in heaven that is our help. I remember David crying out. He said, where does my help come from? And he looked up at that great old mountain. He said, no, my help comes from the Father of heaven and earth. Amen? Amen. I think we can make a declaration today and a disposition of our hearts to say, Lord God, in this new year, I'm not going to look at my problems. I'm going to change my focus. And I'm going to give up a little bit of Pastor Chris's sermon if I say this. But we're going to focus on the promise, not the problem. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a shout. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Hey, Gateway family, it's me, Pastor David, and as you can clearly see, I'm not with you in San Jose. Kathy and I are in Hawaii, where we've been co-hosting an international leadership conference. This is a pretty big event with about 70 leaders gathering, 3 days of equipping. It's a great time, and we've co-led this event for the past 14 years, and it's another way that we as a church are inspiring transformed lives. Now then, having finished that event, we're going to take a few days off, catch our breath, maybe get some beach time in before we head home to be with you this weekend. So that's what's happening here. Now for what's happening there in San Jose. Today, our church is blessed to have Pastor Chris Cobb in the pulpit. Chris and his wife Carol, longtime friends of Gateway, they've served our church as elders and pastors years ago. Then late this past year, after 14 years at Jubilee Christian Center, the Lord arranged for them to be back home at Gateway with us. I've asked Pastor Chris to come on board and assist me as an executive pastor in our church. And this is great news for all of us because, like our other pastors, Chris has a great heart for people, strong spiritual gift, and as you'll soon see, a solid ability in the Word of God. This is a fantastic blessing. 2015, it's going to be a great year, Gateway. Kathy and I love each and every one of you. Let's get immersed in prayer. Let's dive into the things of God as never before so we can bring honor and glory to Jesus our King in this amazing city that we all love so much. Aloha, until we see you next Sunday. And now, please welcome our own Pastor Chris Cobb as our morning speaker.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Praise God. Have a seat. It's great to be here this morning. It's great to be back. Great to be a part of Gateway and what God's doing down here in the South Bay. I have quite a few people that I've known and remember from years. Greg, Joy Young, some of you people I've known for a long, long time. It's amazing how none of you have changed. I have. All this here used to be up here. It really did. And there used to be more up here. And I told the first service that about 6 months ago, my 5-year-old grandson walks up to me and puts his hand right here and real seriously looks and says, or asks, "Grandpa, what happened?" So anyway, it's an honor to be here. I really appreciate Pastor David giving me the privilege of standing before a great people, and we have a great God. Amen. Amen. And before we go anywhere, I want to have my MBA, my Mega Babe associate, Carol. She's my wife. Come on up here. I'd like to introduce you. Tell us what you got here.
I got stuff. I got good stuff. May, if you've come in the front door, you probably saw the stuff already. We have books. Couple of these are, we'll do that one in a minute. These are books that were written. Chris is anointed to deliver. Some of you old timers may recognize this. This was actually written when the church was still evangel, when we pioneered the Freedom Clinic years ago. So this is all about deliverance from demonic oppression. And then this is the companion book, Healing the Wounded Heart, which was, you know, was meant to deal with the inner issues of the broken spirit, the wounded soul. And this was also written back then. Both of these have been updated for the 21st century, so that's good. You know, new demons out there all the time, right? Okay, and then we got you got my books. I have this one's called Growing Kingdom People. This is kind of like a discipleship manual. So if you're mentoring somebody and they're, you know, new in the Lord and you're not sure what it is they need to have as a foundation, this is a good book to get them through because it teaches basics of discipleship. And then this one here, Get the Hell Out of Your Mind. Everybody likes the title of this one. Yeah. This is a book that deals a lot with what I learned basically going through some of my own issues and how the Lord brought me through a lot of deliverance and inner healing issues and just stuff that I learned that I wanted to put into a book form to share with other people who are struggling with the same thing. So these are out on the table. You're welcome to come get them. I must tell you, though, that there is a few of these that we should have brought more copies of, so you better get while the getting's good. Yeah. You want to keep that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Can you do that in church? I love that lady. 6 kids, 7 grandsons. Pray for me. All right, let's get going here. I want to greet those that are in the cafe. Hopefully you have notes over there. Here we have notes on the chair. We're going to greet those that are going to watch this video or teaching sometime in the future at the Gateway website. And we're going to just dive in. On the screen, you see a picture of a young man just jumping into the water. This whole last month so far, we've been talking about prayer immersion, just diving in. Robert Henderson was here the first Sunday and really prayed and led us through the grace and supplication of intercession, encouraging us to pray. Last week, Pastor David opened up talking about the principles of the Lord's Prayer. You start off with the Father and you glorify Him, have a relationship with Him. And how everything, there's circles of faith that Pastor David talked about. Get the notes, avail yourself of the teaching. He'll be back next Sunday and continue on. But he had asked me to share about prayer, and we got the comparing notes and different topics, because prayer is a broad subject. And so what I have here today, this morning, is a result of our discussion, what we felt the people of Gateway need at this time, because you can see the calm waters, you can dive in, and we encourage everybody here to avail yourself of the time of prayer. Pastor John, last week we had some incredible prayer in the evening. We prayed through, we made prophetic declarations. Yesterday we did the same thing. And we believe, and we stand in agreement, that there's a prophetic destiny upon every person here in this room this year. And it'll be in proportion to our prayer life. The Lord told Jeremiah, "I have a plan and a purpose for you, and then my people will pray, and then we'll engage purpose, we'll engage destiny as we seek God." So we encourage everybody to jump in. So I'll say that, jump in, just dive in, amen? So, but what about this guy here on the screen here? How many have had this experience before where you dive into something, you jump in, and all of a sudden there are waves in life that you did not anticipate? There's things that come up. You know, you can come to church and you can press in. And how many know every time, I don't know about you, but I've done this where I start to seek God regarding certain things in my life. And all of a sudden, the storms come, the waves will come, things happen, right? And you're thinking, why? I thought I was seeking God. I thought I was doing right. And all of a sudden, hell seems to be knocking on my door. My marriage, my money, my finances. Am I the only one, or is there anyone else here that have had waves? I mean, because we go pressing in, and all of a sudden, the boat starts to rock. Amen? But how about this other guy here on the screen? Look at this. Here's this guy. Gateway member. Isn't the youth ministry, whatever. He dives in. He's happy. He's got a promise. He's good. He's living life large and in charge, and he's waving at the camera. He has no clue about what's about to happen and get bit. And who knows? I mean, you're jumping into prayer. You're seeking God. And all of a sudden, something, you know, Pastor John's phone rings 3 months from now. Ah, I've been bitten by stuff, by life. And how many know you can fit into one of these two different categories? What we want to talk about this morning is the battleground of prayer. The battleground of prayer. Now, this is a broad topic. We're obviously not going to cover the whole spectrum of battle in prayer this morning. But if you look at the screen here, and everybody just pay attention, our goal here this morning here is when the waves roar and the sharks are circling about you here, then what we need to do is just encourage everybody to keep swimming. Look at your neighbor on your left and on your right. Tell them, keep swimming. Keep swimming. We have a charted course this year, prophetically, Gateway, and we need to keep swimming. So you might be the guy with the waves. You might be the guy with the sharks. We want to encourage you to keep pressing on. And we're going to unwrap just a couple of areas here of the battleground that will encourage you, because I believe we're going someplace strong this year in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, the very first battleground is the battle for your heart. The battle for your heart. Let me back up and read. I forgot my main scripture here. Let's all read this out loud here before we go to the battle for the heart. The main scripture that we want to talk about as the foundation is Ephesians chapter 6. Now, some of you old warriors, you know about how God has told through Paul to the Ephesians church that we are to wear battle armor. Amen? We are to wear the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, etc. We're not going to teach that whole thing here this morning. We don't have time. But let's all read this out loud together here. Ephesians 6. Ready to go. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, praying always. Take the armor of God and pray always. So as a part of our prayer agenda for the whole year, make sure you take the armor of God with you. Amen? Make sure you understand it. If you don't know about it, get into some small groups, ask people around you, and make sure you wear the armor of God to be able to stand and swim within the waves that we're going against, in Jesus' name. Now let's go to the very first point here, the battle for your heart. If you look up on the screen here, there's a verse there that we want to read. Let's all read this together. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Look at the connection there where Jesus says there's a prayer and then there's a losing of a heart. You see, what Jesus wants us to do is to not grow weary and to not become exhausted. So when he says pray and not lose heart, he says pray and don't grow weary. Pray and don't get discouraged. Pray and don't get exhausted. I don't know about you, there are times when I don't feel like praying. Am I the only one? And when I got 103 temperature and I'm in bed and I got the flu, I don't feel like praying. When the boss says you're fired, you go home, you're discouraged, you don't feel like praying sometimes. You lose heart. The man walks in and says, hey, I found another, you know, young chick. She's blonde and in her 20s and I'm out of here. And ladies, I mean, how many of you know that can just flat take the air out of your sail? And you lose heart, you lose courage, you grow weary. You haven't seen the answer to the promises and to what God has in store for you for a long, long time. You can get discouraged, amen? And you can run your life's lists, and most of us here, we've been through situations where if we're not careful, we could lose heart. Jesus said, pray. Don't lose. Don't get discouraged. Pray. Keep swimming. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Okay, now watch this. Jesus shows up. He pulls his 12 guys. He says, listen, guys, we're going to change the world. And he begins mentoring these guys. And these guys are thinking, this is Messiah. We're going to see the kingdom of God restored. We're going to have the Roman Empire overthrown. Let's go. Hey, when we rule and reign with you, can we sit on your right hand and on your left hand? And these guys are thinking they're going one way and Jesus is going that way. He's going to the what? The cross? What's the cross? Die? Who's dying? And Jesus slowly began to unfold a whole different agenda than where these guys are going. Don't you love that when you see God and all of a sudden God starts to shift where he wants us to go? And sometimes it's not comfortable. Like these guys, the 12 disciples. And then here's the Last Supper. Jesus is with his guys. He's telling them, listen, guys, I'm going to, you know, go cross, die, rise again. And these guys are going, whoa, tilt, you know. We didn't expect this. We didn't anticipate it. This was not a part of the plan. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, guys, I need you to pray. And Jesus goes and prays. And if you look at this next slide here, there's a verse here in Luke's gospel that as Jesus was praying, he got up and he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping for sorrow. You can get to a point where you're so discouraged and it seems like things are just not working out. You could sleep for sorrow. You can get discouraged. Jesus said, no, 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 to be cautious. There's a battle going on for your heart. There's a battle going on to that would want to take, like I said, the wind out of your sail to eradicate from within you that stamina to be able to hang in there and keep swimming. You see, now what would have happened? We don't know. What would have happened if Peter, James, and John were not sleeping, but they engaged in prayer with Jesus? Who knows what the end of the story might have been? But here, the whole exhortation and encouragement was, guys, listen, I need you to hang in there with me. Don't go sleeping on me. Don't lose heart. And so the word to the people of Gateway this morning here is, if you're having challenges and there's discouragement, hang in there, okay? I'm thinking of Richard Rembrandt. Here's this photo of this guy here up on the wall on the screens here. This gentleman here was a Romanian pastor. And during the communist regime over in that area many years ago, and he was arrested for his Christian faith, and he was tortured, and it's a moving story. He ended up in solitary confinement, 30 feet down below in a cell by himself for many, many years. And they would beat him really, really bad to try to ascertain the names of the other pastors in Romania so they can be arrested as well. His story is that it got so dark and so alone in that solitary confinement that he forgot what it was to smell. He forgot what colors looked like. He forgot what sound sounded like because there was total silence. Even the one guard that he heard his voice in those 14 years, one man had felt underneath his boot so that he could not hear him coming. And whenever he did hear his voice, it was in torture and torment. And so this guy reached a low point. How many know that that could be discouraging? How many know that that could just flat take out any hope? Like, where is God now in my life? The story goes that he reaches the lowest point in his life. He tried to find ways to commit suicide, and he couldn't, and it was really dark. And at the lowest point, he's sitting on the floor, and all of a sudden, the room began to glow. Boom! It's like somebody turned the lights on. And he turns, and there's Jesus standing next to him. And Jesus whispered to him. He said, I'm always here. And Richard Rembrandt said he began to hear angels singing. He began to smell heaven. He felt Jesus kiss him. He felt his arm around him. And he said that cell no longer was a prison cell. That was a sanctuary for the presence of God. And you see, what Jesus did to him is what Jesus did and has done before in people's lives. For example, when Lazarus died, Jesus was not there. He comes a couple of days later, and he comes up to Martha. Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many know that that was a point of discouragement? And so Jesus tells Martha, Martha runs and tells Mary. And you look at this verse here. Martha tells Mary, listen, the teacher has come and he's calling for you. So here you have Mary, her brother died. If Jesus had been here, he would have not have died. I mean, how many know that that's a point of discouragement? And Jesus is doing today to the members of Gateway and those that are visiting here today, he's doing the same thing that he's done for many, many years, like he did with Richard Verenbrand. When you get to the darkest days of your life, the teacher has come and he's calling for you. Isaiah tells us, he says, I will be very gracious to you at the voice of your cry. Jesus said, before you call, I will answer. And know this today, if you're in the waves and you're alone and you're sensing some challenges and you're about to lose heart, know this, that the Master is calling for you. It's like King David said, your thoughts towards me are more than I could number. And there comes a time where, like, we make intercession to the Lord, but Hebrews chapter 7 says he makes intercession for you. Hang in there. Keep swimming. And there's a place where the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes up alongside you. And so our encouragement here today is if you are facing life's challenge and you're in the battleground for your heart to stay encouraged, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. He's calling for you. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I will call out to them in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Point number two is the battleground for your time. Now, the scripture here that we want to reference is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Let's all read this out loud together. Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Notice how he makes a correlation between time and evil days. Now we know Paul told Timothy that in the latter days there's going to be an increase of evil. And you and I both know this. We look around on the internet, TV, etc. There's a lot of stuff happening around the world today. And we with technology can be very current with all the stuff that's going on. But what's amazing to me and interesting is that Paul here says, listen, you need to do something about your time. You need to buy back, take back, or rescue. You need to take ownership of your time because there's some evil going on that would want to take control of your time. Amen? There's a battleground going on for time for you and I to be able to do what we need to do and to seek God, to pray and to continue to trust him. Because you see what happens is if we don't, we're not careful, again, we can get discouraged. We can see evil around us here, and we will allow other things to creep into our lives to take the time away from us that is needed to be able to seek God. Amen? So what happens here, if you go to the next slide here, what we see is that in America today, on average, people spend about 5 hours a day watching TV, 4.5 hours a day on the internet, about 3 hours a day on smartphones. And what happens is that if people are not careful, they can, because of pressure, because of time constraints, I mean, is it just you or me, or do you understand, or are you sensing as well that the more technology we have, it seems like the more busy we are, amen? Because my wife and I have been involved with the Bay Area here since we moved here in 1981. And what's happened is that we saw all the technology that's been generated over the years, all the internet, all the computer devices, all the social media stuff, and we watch this go on, and as the time has gone on, it seems like we have less and less time to seek God. And what happens is, and this is the danger, this is why I believe Paul said, hey guys, you gotta redeem the time, take back the time, because the days are evil. What happens is, if we're not careful, we get discouraged, we can go through life, we get stressed out, we come home from work, we turn the TV on, and we disconnect. We disconnect from, now I'm not against TV, I'm not against, you know, the internet and smartphones. I got a smartphone, I use the internet, I use TV. In fact, here, in about 15 minutes, the Green Bay Packers are gonna start the Seattle game, and so I'll be going home. And any Cowboy fans here, Mike, my condolences. We're praying for Dez Bryant, but I play, some of you, y'all ever heard of the Green Bay Packers?
Yes.
Amen. Y'all ever heard of Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Okay, well, I played with Aaron's dad in college, Eddie Rodgers. We were on the football team together, and someday I'll tell you the story how I almost could take credit for Aaron Rodgers. True story, almost. No, Eddie Rogers, his dad, we used to go to Bible studies together. We were on the football team together. And then I see little Aaron, and I see Aaron grow up, and I see his dad. And so anyway, we'll be praying for the Packers. Amen. So I am not opposed to TV, but it doesn't own me. It doesn't control me. And my point in bringing this up is to encourage you to be cautious, because you got teens, you got young adults, you got even grown men, women, etc., that are getting absorbed into time constraints whereby, watch this, you disconnect from reality and responsibilities. In the New Testament, the word for demonization is demonizome. That is in the passive tense. What that literally means is a demonically influenced passiveness, which will subdue a people and bring them into a state of passiveness. Isaiah says that there's a spirit of slumber that comes across a people. And what happens is you can use that as a substitute, disconnect, and then not have the inertia and strength within your spirit to seek God. It's easier to go to plug in and turn on, et cetera, and then disconnect, and you develop a habit pattern, if you will, of not addressing what we need to address, but yes, getting absorbed into a false reality. It's dangerous. You got to be careful. That's why he says, redeem it. Take it back. Own your time. There was a guy, about 6-8 months ago, he comes to me, and he says, my wife's divorcing me. I lost my job. My kids don't like me, et cetera. And I said, well, let me pray for you. But before we do, tell me about your spiritual life. What's going on? How are you handling this life trauma? And he said, well, basically, I don't have time. And I said, are you kidding me? Now, you see, let me time out here. I pastored men. I was a men's pastor for many years. So I talked to guys a little bit differently than what I could say here this morning. Okay? So, Joel, I took this guy back out to the woodshed. He's, no. His wife's divorcing him. His house is on fire. He lost his job, and you don't have time. You don't have time. So I very gently suggested that he get up in the morning. Was that pastoral, John? Get up in the morning and seek God. I didn't say it that way. But I said, you need to get up. You need to shut off all the other things, and you need to see God. If you want to get your wife back, you want to get a job, you want to get your life turned around, the Bible is clear. Seek the Lord and draw near to him. He will draw near to you, okay? And so anyway, long story short, his wife comes up to me a couple of months later, and she says, what did you do to my husband? And I said, well, I told him to seek God. And I said, why do you ask? She says, boy, we have had a radical shift in our house. This guy is getting up early. He's praying. He's praying for me. He's praying for my kids. I threw away the divorce papers. He's got a new job. You see, what happened was is there was almost like a shaking that had to take place to break that battle off of him, of his time not being available. So I want to encourage you. You do have time. You have time to get up or read the Bible at night. My wife and I are opposite. I get up early in the morning. She stays up at late. But we both do our job in regards to seeking God, hearing from God. And I'm telling you, in this room here, if you've had a challenge there, we're going to make some decisions. In fact, here on the screen here, this is the decision we're going to make today to take control of your time, your future, your destiny. You can make that choice. You may need some help. You may need some help from somebody else praying with you. In fact, we encourage everybody here as much as is possible to be a part of what we're doing with the 50 Days of Transformation. Get into a small group. Get into some of these studies, because the prophetic word is for Gateway that there is transformation coming. And you want to position yourself in a place whereby if there's anything blocking that, you need to strip it away so that you take control of your time, you don't lose heart, and we can see the purpose of God experienced in our lives. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
All right. Point number three is the battle for God's promises. The battle for God's promises. Now, the scripture here is, after we read this here, demonic forces seek to harass and to hinder God's promises. How many know many times that as you begin to see God, there's stuff that happens that maybe you don't have a clue of what's going on? Many times you have a scenario where there's battles that go on and you don't really understand all the dynamics. But Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and many times we're not discerning of what's taking place. What I want to do is read from Daniel, the prophet Daniel. And Daniel was in a situation where there was some warfare going on. So follow me here this morning here. Daniel was a prophet in the Old Testament. He was a part of the captivity. They went to Babylon, and they had a promise that God was going to bring them back after 70 years. He began to seek God because of the promise. He began to cry out to God because of the promise. Now, let's read this out loud together here, and we'll stop and we'll make some interjection here, but watch this. Let's read this out loud together. Ready, go. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Stop. Wow. Wow. He had a promise. Time went by. Here's this angel says, you know, from the first day that you began to pray, I have come because of your words. You see, many times we minimize the power and the impact of our prayer. Many times we allow doubts, fears, other things to enter into our mind. Did God really hear me? Am I wasting my time? I've not seen any results. And it's just like this angel comes up and says to Daniel, from the moment you prayed, your words were heard. Your words came up before heaven. They were heard in hell. And there's this conflict that started. Daniel started a war by his prayer. He had no idea what was going on. And there was a point there where, you know, time went by. Let's read the rest of this verse here. But verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That's 3 weeks. So here, heaven pulls back the curtains, and we see a picture of what happened to Daniel's life when he began to pray. And I'm telling you, prophetically, that's exactly the same thing that goes on today, that goes on within your life. You see, Daniel prayed. Did God hear his prayer? Okay, am I praying in the will of God? Am I praying right? And all these thoughts come to your head. And so Daniel prays, and then 5 days go by, 10 days go by, Ellen, 15 days go by. Did God do what he said he was going to do? And so, you know, there's the temptation to begin to doubt. 20 days go by. What would have happened if Daniel gave up on his prayer after 20 days? You see, something happened where in his heart, he understood this battleground. He didn't have all the picture, but he knew he needed to set himself. And I know I'm speaking to somebody here this morning prophetically here. You need to set yourself. And regardless of what happens, you're not moving. You're going to pray. You're going to see that family restored. You're going to see that marriage. You're going to see that business. You're going to see God work, and you're going to stay in that position. Because what happened on the 21st day, that angel shows up and says, listen, no, Daniel, you prayed. And that we heard your words, we were sent the same day, but the prince of the power of the air of Persia, there's territorial strongholds, and there are territorial strongholds over the Bay Area that would challenge our prayer as well. And those territorial strongholds, something took place where there was this engagement, there was this battle in the heavenlies here where there was this time delay, and the angels broke through, came in, and were able to correspond with Daniel in that position. How many times have we been in that same situation where there's interference wanting to interrupt our prayer lives? I want to encourage you, friends, here. See, what God is saying, if you go to the next verse or next slide here, this verse shows that God hears and responds the moment we pray. I want to encourage you. I want to drive this point home. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. The Bible says no good thing does he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Amen? The Bible says to me that Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Right? The Bible says to me in Romans chapter 8 that that God did not withhold his own son, but with him also gives us freely all things. And so there's this understanding that we need to have that when we pray, God hears our prayer. But many times there's this warfare that goes on in the heavenlies. I got many, many different stories of people's lives of where we've been able to pray and to see this battle of God's promise where there's a challenge and where we've been able to pray and to see some fruit from that. I'm going to just share a couple of stories here. Now, I want to be careful. There's always a balance. Not everything is demonic. Not everything is this type of a warfare. But at the same time, there are people that are believing God for great things, and yet there's things in the way that we need to be aware of. Amen? For example, had this one guy come up one time, had a PhD from Stanford, a PhD from Harvard, and so he's no slouch. He comes up for prayer, and he says to me, I've had asthma for 20, 25 years. Can you pray for me? And so I said, sure. So I grabbed his hands, and I immediately discerned some generational occult activity. I said to him, I says, is there anything going on in the family bloodline? Because it's like Robert Henderson preached a couple weeks ago, you know, there's the iniquity in the bloodline many times that interferes with our lives. And the gentleman says to me, he goes, well, yeah, my mom and dad were involved with Santeria voodoo from the Caribbean. And I said, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good. We don't recommend that. And so I grabbed his hand and I said a simple prayer. I mean, it was not, we didn't wail and scream and holler. We just, Lord forgive, and we renounce and we repent and blah, blah, blah. As I was praying, probably took 2 minutes, whatever, his eyes bugged out and he grabbed his mouth and he took off. I'm thinking, okay, bad breath. I mean, I don't know. The next morning, I have a message on my phone and it was this guy crying like a baby. He said, as soon as you prayed that prayer, I had to run back to the men's room. And without going into all the details, whatever, basically he said some stuff came out. And I was able to breathe again, the first time in 20, 25 years. And this guy's crying like a baby. I go, whoa, that's cool. That's and then a week later, same thing. He calls late at night, and he's crying like a baby the next morning. And he said that next week, he went up to Stanford Hospital because he was on special blood pressure medication where they're doing some tests. And they said, oh, look, you don't have any high blood pressure anymore. You don't have any asthma anymore. Wow, looks like you're normal. He says, what happened? And he said, well, there's this guy down at this church that prayed about Santeria voodoo, whatever. And no joke, they took him down the hallway to the clinical psychologist because they thought he had lost, no joke. Because the guy had been battling some stuff. How many of you could battle some stuff? But many times there's things in the way that would hinder. There was a guy, about a year and a half ago, young guy, about 26 years old, Jonathan. Jonathan comes to one of our meetings, and afterwards he says to me, he's crying, he says, I'm quitting. I go, what? Quitting what? He goes, I'm quitting my job. The vice president at my company is criticizing me. He's making fun of me. He's wanting to get me fired, etc. I'm quitting. Tears. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I talk to men a little differently sometimes. I said, no, you're not. You're not quitting. No, if God tells you to move to another job, great, but we don't quit. Not under these circumstances. We don't quit. Here's what you do. And he's crying. I said, no. Dry up. I said, tomorrow you walk back into that place and you say, Jesus is Lord of this company. I did. I said, and you walk back into that place, and you take authority in the scriptures, Joshua 1. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, that's what I've given you. And you go do what Jesus said, love your enemies. You go love that vice president. You intercede for him. You pray for him. You say in that building, you say, God, kingdom come. Kingdom come, God's will be done. And so that's the short version of it. So I told him what to pray. So he goes back in. And 2 weeks later, I see him. He walks up to me. He says, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, well, tell me. Try me. He says, I did exactly what you said. And I walked back in, and all the criticism and all the cutting remarks, it stopped instantly. 2 weeks after this occurred, he said, another vice president walks up and says, what's going on? This guy's being nice to you, this other guy, and they don't want to fire you now. The bottom line is this. Jonathan got a promotion, got a $10,000 raise, and led two or three of his coworkers to the Lord. You see, God had placed him in that place, but there was some spiritual stuff going on that he was allowing that to influence his decisions. We can't afford that, friends. We got to stay on the firing line. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, keep swimming. Keep swimming, keep swimming. And there's many, many, many stories. Pastor David and I prayed with this one lady back in the 90s. This lady, a godly woman, one of the leaders in the Bay Area, but she had cancer in her uterus, about the size of a tennis ball, had already had several operations, and was bleeding almost on a daily basis. So Pastor David and I sat down with this lady, and we began to pray, and we discerned some things, again, some generational things, and without going into a lot of details, and I wish we had a videotape of this, oh my God. But anyway, we prayed, and it was a pretty dramatic prayer time when you deal with spiritual warfare. Right, John, Pastor John? That sometimes that happens. But the long story is this, the short story is this, that from the moment we prayed, the bleeding stopped. And 4 days later, she was back up at Stanford Hospital getting ready for another operation, and there was no more cancer inside her uterus because there was a connection. My point being is this. Daniel sought God. Stuff begins to happen. Don't be naive, and don't think that when you start to pray that stuff won't happen, because it will, okay? But let me tell you, you've already won. You have already won. All you're doing is making the devil nervous and just causing thing. If you got to turn to your neighbor, tell him, keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming. Because what we want to do is encourage the people of God this morning to keep on keeping on in regards to your prayer. I had another guy one time. Is this okay? Got to do this? I had another guy one time who, in fact, it was a clinical psychologist, a counselor up in South San Francisco. She calls me up and she says, can you pray for this guy, young man? He has got an addictive sexual addiction, compulsive sexual addiction. And I said, sure, send him down. So he comes down to my office, and I ask him a few questions, and we only met for about maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And I told him, I said, well, what you got going on here is that there is familiar strongholds from soul transfer. Y'all ever heard of that? Y'all know about that? Do you guys talk about that in Cleansing Stream? By the way, you got another Cleansing Stream classes coming up, right? Yes. Pastor John, so people, if they want to get into Cleansing Stream, they can go sign up in the lobby afterwards. Okay, so that's a little promotion there. Anyway, this guy says to me, yeah, he's been around. He's got a lot of transference of stuff. And I said, well, we need to cut that and pray in Jesus' name. So we did. And nothing dramatic. He just left my office. And 2 weeks later, I get a call from this clinical psychologist who's been counseling this guy for 2 years. She says, what did you do? I said, well, we prayed. And she says, the moment he left your office, he had no more desire to go off and do what he was doing. And I began to explain to her the dynamic of what was going on. And you see, I share these stories, and some of them were extreme. In fact, we got tons of other, lots of different examples of the influence of this on a family situation, on a financial situation, on your kids. We got a chapter in my deliverance book here on deliverance for kids. We got kingdom finances and spiritual warfare. We got deliverance for the family. We got all deliverance from the wounded heart. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. And the bottom line is this, is that Jesus came to set us free. Amen? And he wants your prayers effective. And so here on this verse here, the next slide there, Peter tells us, let's read this out loud together. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith. As you're seeking God this year in the month of immersion in prayer, and as you pray throughout this year, don't forget this verse. In fact, the next slide there, it says that we need to stand fast in our prayer and resist the enemy's schemes and plans. So don't forget this component, if you will, and the dynamic of this battleground of God's promise. We have an agenda here to be able to help people pray the answer, pray the promise. There was a gentleman up in Canada who counted in this Bible 7,487 promises. Think about a promise that God has made to you. Think about a promise that God has made to your family. Think about something that God has promised you about your future, direction, your health, etc. And seek God for that, because God wants to fulfill his promises. He shed his blood so that we could experience all that he came for us to experience. Amen? But also at the same time, don't be, like the Bible says, let us not be ignorant of Satan's devices. So what we want to do here, in fact, we could have the worship team come on out here. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to pray. But I want you to think about, in your own life right now, any challenges that you might have, any challenges that you might be experiencing. Get your eyes off of that just for a moment and think about what the promise of God is for you. Jesus, the Bible tells us that I will lead you and guide you in the way you should go. He says, Joshua says, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll bless you coming in. I will bless you going out. I'll make you the head. I'll make you not the tail. There's promises in the Word of God. Think about those promises, and we're going to be praying about that, because what our encouragement to do is to get our eyes off of the storms, get our eyes off of the time issues, and get them onto the promises of God. And we're going to keep swimming, Gateway. We're going to keep swimming in what God has for that. Amen? Amen. Let's put the words up on this on the board here of the song here, Oceans. And I want to just highlight something here. Watch this. Let's all read this out loud together. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes. Isn't that what we're talking about? Keep your eyes above the waves. Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes on the promises. Keep your eyes upon where God wants to take you. When the oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I'm yours, and you are mine. Amen? Let's sing that, worship team. We got a prayer. We're going to pray together on the screen here. But before we do that, I really sense there's a strong prophetic unction here this morning. I believe many of you are in your 20th day. You're just hanging in there. There's Daniel prayed 21 days, but on that 20th day, he still stood. And you, I sense in my spirit, Pastor Brad, that there's many people here right on the edge, and you're right on the edge of some major, major breakthroughs in your life. Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged in your heart. Take your time. Take control of the time. Stand on promises of God. Find people to help you. Get into a small group. Get into the 50 days of transformation. Because I can tell you prophetically, we're going someplace this year in Jesus' name. Amen? We're going up. We're not going down. We're going in. Amen? Tell to your neighbor. Tell to your neighbor. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Let's read this out loud together, and then we're going to close for the day. Ready? Go. Thank you for encouraging and strengthening me, Jesus. This day, I make a decision to stand guard over my prayer life and my time. Today, I declare you are my Lord of my life and all that I do. I stand this day against any powers of darkness seeking to control me, and thank you for guarding me in all my ways. In Christ's name, and everybody says, amen. God bless you, Gateway. Hope, if you need prayer, we're going to have our prayer teams up here, all the prayer leaders, prayer teams, come on up to the front. You need somebody to agree with you in prayer, come on up. Otherwise, I think we got a couple of books left out there. Stay in prayer, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Hello, Ruth.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.